Tá, fui dois, pô.
Evening, folks. Welcome to an emergency edition of the Trinity Tim's AGM special. Eric, stop laughing. Any of that, you'll be able to hear. Behave. And you, Forrest, stop smirking. Look at the camera and behave yourself. This is a Celtic AGM. Anyway, what a farce we had today at the Celtic AGM. We're on tonight for a special 30-minute show just to cover matters, but I arrived about 20 to 10, went in, there was not much of a queue, but there's lots of extra security checks to get you in, checking your name against a list, produce ID. If you just carried a proxy letter, you weren't getting in. The proxy letter had to be signed up and officially transferred into your name, etc., etc. We went up, the main room was almost full, about 80% full. And then once the main room was full, they switched off the heating. It suddenly got quite chilly in the room, and that was before the board appeared. So I think there's a couple of other rooms in use. It wasn't very well organised. The chairs were too close together. If somebody wanted to move, the whole row had to move. And that was before the pantomime started. So we had 4 minutes of chat. We tried to show us a video. Who wants to see the video? Everything in the video was about how wonderful last season was, which basically says this season hasn't been so wonderful. And then Jeanette Finlay tried to cut it short, asked them, let's just cut to the questions, get the motions done with, get them voted through and have some questions. But there's a few hecklers, maybe about 30 folk with red cards, not sure where they were from. They were quite close to the podium and the chairman got very upset, very sensitive. It was as if somebody had asked a question about his useless son. But there was no warning given, and very quickly says, that's it, we're adjourning for 30 minutes. Absolutely no need for that, no need whatsoever. A 5 minutes or a push 10 minutes adjournment would have been good enough. But they went away for 30 minutes. Folks that are milled about, talked to friends, checked their WhatsApp groups, checked Twitter, checked whatever. And then they came back. We get a little bit of chat, a very small bit of chat, put onto a video about how fantastic last season was, how everything in the garden's hunky-dory. And then the chairman absolutely chairs the meeting. He's in total control. He decided to let Ross Desmond speak. And he'd been as well firing a few Vickies at the open room. It was completely hostile. You know what, you don't know how lucky you are, my dad's fantastic, and you don't know you're living, so there's all that contempt.
Joe, are you hooked up to your camera mic, or are you hooked up to your actual mic?
I don't know.
Your sound is a bit poor there.
Right.
I know you've gone, we can't hear you at all.
We've lost you there now. Peter Lawwell is somewhere around here this evening, and he's shut Joe down.
Is that clearer now?
Much better, yeah.
Right, throw these away. So we got to after the video, we got Ross Desmond speaking, lecturing to us about how lucky we are, how fantastic his dad is, how his dad did save Celtic, how you can't punch above your weight in Europe. Any mention of Club Bruges or of Copenhagen or whoever, absolutely out of this question. We had a good season last season, enjoy it. We've got regular European football. But then once he turned to the Falkirk incident, he never mentioned the assault, but we're all clued up what happened with the Falkirk incident. We got a Celtic statement on Tuesday. We got the truth from the Green Brigade and the Celtic collective on Wednesday. So that was a step too far. There's a fair bit of booing at that. Folk don't want lecture through, they don't want talk. You wouldn't read through the Daily Record. It told what an idiot you are. You just give up on it. So shareholders do not deserve Ross Desmond lecturing to them on things that didn't happen. The Green Brigade, no one was assaulted. Someone might be getting charged with peace. But at that point, Peter Lill just grabbed the mic, cut Ross Desmond off. Quick warning, do you want this meeting closed? And then before he knew it, it was over and done with. So that was my eyewitness account of it. I'll pass to Eric, first of all. What was your take looking in from Kerry today?
Well, I'm a Kerry man, okay? So in Kerry, we have a bit of a serious rivalry with Dublin, right? And I never heard Ross Desmond speak before, okay? So I know his dad lives in Dublin. I know his dad's a Limerick man, I work. But I never heard Ross speak. And Ross, the last thing that I expected today was to hear somebody pontificating to the Celtic fan base in a Dublin pool after, right? Because most people down the south don't like Dublin four accents. They certainly don't like being lectured to in Dublin four accents. The Dublin four accent is a made-up accent, which nobody outside of Dublin four in Ireland likes. So if you start lecturing people in a Dublin four accent, it's really going to hurt them, okay? So today, it really fucking irked me to hear this man step up and pontificate in the way that he did to the Celtic fan base, and to say the things that he said about the Celtic fan base, which were totally, everything he said was totally disingenuous. And all he did today was prove 100% that he is just another puppet of his father. When he was reading that statement, all that I could see, while he had those sheets of paper in his hand,
all that I could see was, Dad, is this all right? Are you okay with what I'm saying here now, Dad? If I come up there and say that, are you all right with that? Can you back that? And he was there. Of course, Ross, 100% no. That'll be perfect. That'll be great. No, you say that now as well. And that is all that was going through my head. And everything that he said today was 100% disingenuous. What I also noticed was that he has to be reading what the bloggers are writing. What we write clearly hurts him, because he spoke about all of the things that he spoke about during his rant, because that's what we call it. It's another rant orchestrated by his father. When he was reading out his rant, he spoke about the fact that, you know, we want to compete in Europe, or we should be punching above our weight in Europe. These are all the things that we talk about on our blogs. These are all the things that we keep saying that Celtic should be doing. So what he actually proved today is that he recognizes 100% what we should be doing as a club, but we're failing miserably at it. But for him and his father and the people around him, their best reaction is to lash out at the fan base and to basically, look, we thought yesterday that they were declaring war on the fan base by what happened with those three dawn raids in Glasgow. We thought they were declaring war on the fan base, but they 100% confirmed today they're declaring war on the fan base, and that, like, we are the enemy as far as they're concerned. To say that we're anti-establishment, I mean, that just smacks to me 100% of a billionaire son saying, like, don't lecture me. I'm fucking loaded. Don't lecture me and tell me what I should be doing or how my dad should be running this club. I mean, the whole thing was just, it made my skin crawl. It actually made my skin crawl. And it was the finale to it, and the way that it finished, I, honest to God, I don't think it could have finished any better than it did. Because the people in that room, and you were there, Joe, people in that room made a statement. They made a statement that will reverberate throughout the club for years to come, I think. I know the... Am I correct in saying the AGM has been rescheduled? So...
I'm not heard. No.
No, are they going to reschedule it? No? No?
They're just going to be all in closed doors. They're going to count the votes and that's it.
Yeah. So, for me, the whole thing was... It was just farcical. It was farcical. And I think there's a lot of people saying that it was scripted, that Peter Lawwell was going to pull the plug. And telling grown men and women to behave. What are we? Fucking children, like. I mean, that just encapsulates exactly what they think of us. That's how they view us. Behave. Behave or I'll shut it down. I mean, it's just... I don't know. But like I said, for me as an Irishman, to have somebody with a Dublin 4 accent lecture me as a Celtic fan, it's or as a Kerry man anyway,
It's the worst possible. It just, that's like, it's like petrol to a fire. It just ignites me. I never heard him speak before, but today it drove me over the edge. So that's my opening take on a joke.
James, we've often commented on the complete lack of leadership from Michael Nicholson. What was your take on the leadership of Peter Lowe today?
The whole thing was absolutely pathetic. Absolutely pathetic from start to finish. Lowe, again, has shown that he is a coward and a fraud. He couldn't wait to get that meeting finished. These people hate criticism, hate any kind of scrutiny. And the fact that they were getting both today in the most unexpected forum drove them over the edge. I know there's a kind of general feeling that maybe these people have dug in that one of them are getting rid of them. I think that in acting the way they've done today, they've shown how gutless they are. And I think that if we stick it out, they won't, because they won't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle it. The minor bit of criticism they've had up until now, they don't know how to handle it. And what's coming next is surely going to be far worse. Because that was a joke. The behaviour today was disgusting. On Ross Desmond, I can only say that for those who have not seen it, go out and watch Succession immediately. Immediately. Because what I saw today was Kendall Roy on TV at an unspecified moment in the show defending his daddy. And with every single word that came out of his mouth, there was the undercurrent of, am I doing right? Am I saying it right? Am I making it clear? I think one of the phrases he kept repeating over and over again was, I've seen their plan and my dad's plan is better. And was he grateful for that? No. His daddy, Logan Roy, was watching it and telling a room full of his closest advisors, for once in his fucking life, my son has done something right. That was all the thanks he got for it. And that's all the thanks that Colin is going to get today. That was one of the most atrocious pieces of theatre I've ever seen. And what people have to remember, right, is that was not a reaction to what happened in the room. That was not him slapping down a bunch of people in the room who were being nasty to his daddy. He prepared that statement. He was delivering that statement no matter what happened in that room today. So there was no intention whatsoever of going there and fronting up and admitting mistakes and being even a little bit humble in front of the shareholders of your company. He went there today on daddy's orders to hector us and lecture us, and they couldn't even handle it. They couldn't even handle the response from it. I think the whole lot of them are pathetic. I want rid of them all now. Every one of them. And I've been saying for a long time, I don't consider these bad people. I consider them all nasty bastards after today.
Yeah. Well done, you get round to it. James, one issue on Lowell. The old Lowell, Lowell of 5, 6, 7 years ago, would have loved that today. He'd have been squaring up to fuck. He'd be slapping him about. He'd be firing at his sarcasm left, right, and centre. He'd be crowing away about it. He'd be showing off to the old happy clappers in there. What do you think's changed? Because I was going to say a Lowell light, certainly not Lowell light, but it was a different Peter Lowell. It was a shadow of Peter Lowell that we've all known and grown to despise over the years.
I'll tell you what I think has changed. I think there are two dynamics at play here. These people are never like criticism, right? I was speaking to somebody online today and I said that I remember being at a meeting with Lowell. It was during Lowell's own little period when he was reaching out to bloggers and whatnot, and he was having his own for one-on-ones. And he said something to me that day that I thought was absolutely astonishing. And it stuck with me, it's in my memory. He was talking about the way the Ibrox fans treat their boards of directors, and they always go easy on them, and look what a mess they are, and it's absolutely terrible the way that they get treated sometimes. But they tolerate everything and they put up with it. And then you look at our fans, and our fans are always critical, and they're always poking at us, and they're always doing this, and they're always doing that, and look how successful we are and all that. And it took a wee second for it to click in my head that what he was actually saying is, why aren't you guys more like them? And that's the attitude the guys always had. Why aren't you guys more like them? Why aren't you just grateful? Why aren't you still complaining? You know what I mean? And if you want to look at what happened across the city, if you want to take any lesson for having a subservient fan culture that bows the knee to the board of directors every single time, they died. They went out of business because they wouldn't scrutinise their own club. because they wouldn't hold their people to account, and because they wouldn't put their executive under pressure. That will never be us. Not just because we have slightly more sane leaders than they have, only slightly more sane after what we're witnessing right now. That's because we would never allow it to get that far. Our supporters would never allow it to deteriorate to that level. And Wall just doesn't get that. He's never got that. He's never liked criticism. He's never understood why he gets any. He's one of the people who has been in an executive leadership position who's no cut out for it, because he doesn't understand that it comes with the job and it's part of the job. But you're right. 10 years ago, maybe he would have loved it, right? But a lot has changed since then. They've been riding on an easy wave since then. They've had almost unparalleled success, and they think they're responsible for that. And now at the first sign of stormy weather, they're getting defensive and they don't want to admit that they've made mistakes. And Law suddenly is acting like the most self-entitled person on the planet. And the other reason is that I think, increasingly, Desmond himself doesn't trust these guys. They're his human shields, and I don't think that he has as much faith in them today. He's bidding as he used to, and he's interfering there and there in how the business is run. And I don't think they can handle that either, because they're being shit for all of his decisions, let's be honest. We've spoken here many times, right, about why these guys are taking some of this flag right now, and a lot of it is because of him. These guys are just policemen. They don't hold any real power any longer. I mean, when Nicholson was appointed CEO, we also appointed Chris Mackay as CFO. Now, we'd never had a CFO in our history. The position, the CEO position, which Law held, was actually split into two separate jobs. And so Nicholson lost half the authority that Law had straight away, and Chris Mackay got it. We didn't know at the time, but he also lost the other half of the authority that Law had when he would go and speak to the media and brief the fans. None of them were allowed to operate like that anymore. And the mayor, Desmond, has asserted control. The mayor, the rest of them feel like they're eating dirt for his decision making. And I think that's partly what was frustrating them today. I think Law and some of the other ones up there must be uncomfortable about being put in this position because of him. And they should feel uncomfortable about it. But if they had balls, they wouldn't allow it to happen.
Surely they can see it through for one morning a year, 2 hours at the AGM, 2 hours at the AGM, 1 hour of questions. And one of the issues, they adjourned it for 30 minutes, and when they came back, Law made it clear that the meeting will finish at 12:30 regardless. So a 30-minute adjournment was the only time you can cut out of it is the Q&A. So his 30-minute adjournment, that was intended to cut down on what was the Q&A, which we never got round to. But there was one man that got applauded today at the AGM, Martin O'Neill. So Martin O'Neill got applauded. I can see the two of your reactions. He got applauded in there, rightly so. He's got a good record as Celtic manager. He's come in at the moment of need. He's steadied the ship and all that. But, alas, after today's AGM, the abbreviated AGM, Martin O'Neill went too far. He could have avoided questions on it. He could have avoided commenting on Dermot Desmond. He could have avoided commenting on Ross Desmond. But, unfortunately, on a Sky Sports interview and the general media conference to preview tomorrow's game at St Mirren, we're playing St Mirren tomorrow, and we've no idea about Sarachi's hamstring. We've no idea about Ian Acho, if he's going to be available. Not a question at all about team news, nothing on injuries. But Martin O'Neill was very sympathetic to the board. Your take on that unfortunate turn of events, Eric?
Look, I have the utmost respect for Martin O'Neill and his legacy at Celtic. What he achieved in his early years at Celtic was amazing. Some of the best days of my life. All right. So before I go any further, I need to just get that point across. But I think he was out of line today using Jock Stein. Okay, because I personally think that Jock Stein, you know, Jock Stein's statement is, you know, football without the fans is nothing, and I believe that Jock Stein would be 100% behind the fans right now. He would not. I personally feel the man is turning in his grave looking at what's going on at the club right now. And to draw him into the conversation and say, what would Jock Stein think? Well, I'm saying what I think Jock Stein would think. And I think Jock Stein would be disgusted by the behaviour of the Celtic board at the moment. And it's that unfortunately, that comment from Martin O'Neill, unfortunately, made him go down in my estimation. And I didn't want that to happen. I felt reluctant letting it happen. But he said what he said. And he drew Jock Steen into it. And Jock Steen, he is the heart and soul of Celtic. He is the man who achieved so much for the club. And he is the man who firmly believed that the fans were the life and soul of the club. The fans are under attack now from a minority, a small group of people who feel that they can absolutely just tear us down, call us out, make us out to be, I mean, effectively criminals, by the way that Ross Desmond was speaking today, harassing people who have families and who bleed Celtic and who love the club and who hurt as much as we do when success doesn't happen. They don't seem to show it. They don't seem to show that they hurt when things go wrong. In fact, we are actually seeing exactly what they do when things go wrong. And when things go catastrophically wrong, this is what they do. They don't hurt, they lash out. And they lashed out today. And again, I'll repeat, to be lectured by somebody who probably spends more time watching Leinster fucking rugby than he does Celtic, because judging by his accent, he spends more time in the RDS in Dublin. I can fucking guarantee that. Tell us how we should behave and lecture to us in the way that he did today, which was orchestrated pretty much by, you know, it had to be orchestrated by his father. I'm at a loss because I'm 40 years supporting this club. And for me, we're in the darkest of days. I've never, ever seen things as bad. The Kellys and the Whites, they pale into insignificance in comparison to these guys. I was too young to probably understand or appreciate the level of, we said, damage they did to the club at the time, you know, back in the early 90s. But I still remember, and clearly remember, you know, when Fergus came in and rescued the club from the position that it was in, and how ecstatic I was at the time. But I probably was too young to understand fully what was actually going on at the club at the time, because I was only 19, 20 years old. But I never imagined that we'd be in a worse position than we were then. And we are. We're at the... Celtic is at rock bottom right now. This is rock bottom. And they say at rock bottom, the only place is up after that. I guess it's up to us to pick it up and take it up. There is no hope that the guys in the boardroom are going to do that anyway. That's for sure.
James, we're all used to cringing our way through Martin O'Neill's press conferences, the corny references to his age. Ho, ho, ho. I'm an old man. You're young. Ho, ho, ho. But did he cross a line today?
Well, he's legally trained, so he will understand the meaning of corruptio optima pessima. The corruption of the best is the worst. A lot of us were worried about Martin's legacy when he arrived here. And if he stays in that job for much longer and is forced to defend these people for much longer, that will be part of his legacy. And I would not have that happen to the guy. The thing about his statement today is that Martin seems to be under a huge and serious misconception. I don't know where he got the idea from, that he somehow owes the best years of his career to Dermot Desmond, because Desmond did him a favour and brought him to Celtic. Desmond didn't do shit for Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill was the outstanding candidate to come to this club. He was the outstanding manager who was out there who we could have went and got. He doesn't owe Desmond anything. Desmond didn't do anything for Martin O'Neill's career. Martin O'Neill is the architect of his career and everything that he achieved in it. I really don't know why he believes that he has to thank Desmond for that. There wasn't a better person out there, and everything that he did when he came to the club, he had to fight Dermot Desmond for most of the time he was at the club. I think I heard him say one night at one of those Q&As that when he signed Chris Sutton, Dermot Desmond said to him that that is an awful big chunk of your transfer budget to be spending on a single player. Are you sure it's a good idea? And O'Neill told him, you run your side of this and I'll run my side of it. you know, on it. I made the decision. And so O'Neill would never have put up with what Rodgers had to put up with in 100 years. And he knows that himself. He must know that himself. He certainly got no reason to stand up for that guy. I think what he really erred today was that he didn't defend the fans at all. That he seemed to endorse Ross Desmond's statement. And if that really is how he thinks, then he really has forgotten the guy that he was the last time he was here. And the people who were behind him 100%. And that was us, not the Celtic board. Because it was the Celtic board under Mr. Lowell himself who put him on the perpetual downsizing stream, which cost him arguably at least one of the titles that he lost later this year. So I genuinely don't... I was not just disappointed, did he? I was pretty scarred. Did he hear what he had to say? I'll tell you one thing that today absolutely did. It has made it impossible to even imagine that O'Neill will want to see this through to the end of the season or even to the end of January. He knows that he is more and more going to be caught in the middle of something that he wants no part in. And he must recognise that this club needs a complete reboot, starting with somebody filling his job on a permanent basis. That's one of the things he came out of the day that I think that they achieved. A bit of clarity for Martin O'Neill. I don't think if he was offered it to the end of the season, he would take it right now under any circumstances, not in 100 years. He doesn't want to be involved in any of this. Doesn't need it. As you say, Joe, he's old. He's 72. He has better things to be doing with his time. And it's more stress and more hassle than he needs. And I think he has. I think he has to be worried about his legacy to a certain extent because what he's going to hear on some of the podcasts, what he's going to read on some of the blogs is going to be absolutely awful in the next 24 hours. And it's needless. This is one of the things I was worried about. They used them as a human shield. They brought him the other day for a few cheap and easy applause lines and they couldn't even get to his statement without wanting to run out of the building. And that's how cowardly they are. They resorted to tactics while they weren't even willing to hide behind the guy. They just wanted to get out of there. So. But that's what his function was, that he go there and be their bulletproof vest. And when it was clear that that was never going to happen, they couldn't even handle it. It's a bad day for Martin.
After an international break, I reckon every minute that the manager spends in the training ground is valuable. So he could have been done. He'd been far better off before it going there. And if he hadn't attended the AGM, he wouldn't have made the comments supportive of Ross Lowell. But unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to get up and ask questions today. One of them would have been a friendly reference to Martin when he talked about life in the slow lane. Remember that? A reminder to Martin that he might not have rated Brian Quinn too highly, but Brian Quinn is Bill Gates compared to the minnows that are now in the Celtic boards. There's no way for them to act and behave. But we're short on time tonight. We will be back on Tuesday. Myself and James are going to the Celtic Collective meeting on Monday. I don't think it required any extra enthusiasm, but I'm sure anyone who was wavering about it will be banging the doors down to get into Grace's early on Monday. But Eric, where do we stand on the hunt for a manager? So just a quick answer. Any prospective manager, perhaps Wilfried Nancy, looking in from afar at today's AGM, look at the calibre of people he'd be working with. You think today makes the appointment of manager impossible?
I mean, any prospective manager, what he saw today was to scare the living shit out of him. You know, that this is, do I really want to invest my time into going into a situation like this? I mean, look, it's all in the public domain. It's all out there. So you got to ask yourself the question. Is Martin O'Neill was quick to say today that there is a manager lined up. Celtic Tick News were right on that very quickly. But there was nothing. It was one of those usual stories that told us fuck all, as you always go on about, Joe. It was just a few comments by Martin O'Neill. But at the same time, the prospective managers that are out there that may or may not have been interviewed, I mean, if they're looking in or they see anything or any sort of, you know, footage from what happened today, they must be scratching their heads and saying, like, what the fuck is this? Do I want to go working for a guy who tells grown men and women to behave themselves? Is that what he's going to say to me? So my personal belief is that, I mean, the news was during the week that there was no approach to Wilfred Nancy, and I believe that that's the situation. There was no approach to him, and I don't think there is or has been an approach to him. I don't think they have any plan. Their biggest plan at the moment just seems to be to lash out at the supporters. That seems to be the most coordinated plan they have at the moment. It seems to be very coordinated, actually, considering what happened yesterday. Their priorities are up their arses. And I would wager that we'll be seeing Martin O'Neill at the cup final anyway in a couple of weeks' time. I'd be shocked if we didn't. So I don't know. It's a dark day for Celtic today. That's all I say. I don't know what's the end game. I don't know what the end game is here for the board. What do they expect to achieve out of the way they're behaving? Honest to God, I can't. James, you're generally good at these things. You're generally good at being able to figure out what an end game is. Well, what's their end game?
I said that last night. I'm trying everything to figure out what this is about. As I've said plenty of times, the world doesn't have to make sense. There's so much in it that doesn't make sense. But I'm always looking for things to make sense anyway. And it's unfathomable to me why they're so aggressively attacking fans at this moment in time and what they think they can achieve by it. Because the thing about O'Neill, the thing about appointing O'Neill and Maloney is it kind of stabilised the position on the pitch. We got to the final, we narrowed the gap on Hearts. I strongly suspect that we'll win tomorrow, and it's quite possible that by the end of the weekend the gap will be even narrower and we'll be right there in the title race again. And this is the moment where they're considering banning the Green Brigade, and I think that now is under serious consideration. I think that now is the road they're going to go down, at least until the end of the season. And it's as if they're just determined to torch this season by whatever means they can. I mean, first they undermined Rodgers. I mean, they undermined Rodgers. They tried to stop Rodgers getting the players that he needed. They failed to sign the right-sided attacking midfielder, even though everyone knows the team was screaming out for one. They didn't sign another centre-back, even though we know that Carter Vickers is injury-prone. We left the final day to transfer window without a striker and had to sign any acts on a free. So it's just so much of what they've done looks like deliberate sabotage. And when it looks so much like it, can it really be anything else? And I'm trying to think about why. What do they think they gain by sabotaging this season? What's the end game there? What result do they hope for? Because to me, that's what it looks like. And I really cannot fathom what the thinking is. There must be people inside Celtic Park who know that the last thing they need to be doing at this moment in time, the very last thing, is picking a fight with the supporters. Because the supporters are what's going to carry whichever team is on the park and whichever manager is in the dugout or the line. Like, regardless of what the fans think of the board, they will back the team 100%. Unless the club itself makes that impossible. And it seems to me that the club is determined to make that impossible. So I'm a complete loss to work out where these people are even thinking.
Right, that's about all for tonight, folks. I got to say a big thank you. We've now passed the 2,000 subscribers mark, so thanks to everyone that subscribed. Please leave a comment, like, share, do all those sort of things. We'll be back again on Tuesday, and over the weekend, don't forget, not a penny more. You've all got the opportunity to walk into Celtic stores, buy some stuff for Christmas, and you've also got the opportunity to walk past. So it's up to the supporters. That's one thing very directly we can all impact. Plenty of people spend £100 or more Christmas time on Celtic goods. There's other manufacturers that are available. There's plenty of independent merchandise. You don't need those three Adidas stripes. So we'll leave it for now. We'll be back again on Tuesday at 6:30 following the collective meeting. And we might have some good cheer to spread, but possibly not. So that's all for tonight. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Yeah, I just make one small comment before we go, Joe. If Ross Desmond was a glimpse of the future for Celtic, God help us. Good luck.